So all of these Jews were looking forward to a baby being born that could be their Savior or the everlasting Father incarnate, and yet they missed it. All of the lights for Christmas, all of the songs, all of the gifts, and yet there are millions and millions of people who have missed it. The whole purpose for the season is our God. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your presence in this place tonight. And God, we ask your blessing upon the remainder of the service. Let there be an anointing and touch on every individual that's here. It's in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I've read this before, and probably you've heard it before, but someone, and it doesn't say who, wrote this. It's called One Solitary Life. Here's a young man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked as a carpenter until he was 30, and then for 3 years he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one thing that usually accompanies greatness. He has no credentials except himself. While he was still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, and that was his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. I am far within the mark when I say that all of the armies that ever marched and all of the navies that ever sailed and all of the parliaments that ever sat and all of the kings that ever reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon the earth as has one solitary life. His name is Jesus. No one. No one. No one has ever risen from the dead. No one has ever healed someone. No one has ever created the miracles that he has. In fact, the Bible says they couldn't record all of the miracles with all of the books on the face of the earth. If you turn to a couple of scriptures, if you have your Bibles tonight, 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse number 15, it says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." We cannot describe what God has done for us, because without this gift, we wouldn't have eternal life. And then Ephesians 2 and 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And so we can't save ourselves. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But he has given us eternal life because he came in the flesh and he died. Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus Christ, he has preeminence over all authority, over everything in this world and the next. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ." In other words, God robed himself in flesh. Christ means the anointed flesh, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or charging their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The gift was unwrapped. It was first in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. God in Christ, not packaged like the prophets thought he would be packaged. God robed in flesh to be the best gift man could ever receive. And what do you get someone so great as our God? It's just love. God knew the greatest need man has was to be delivered from sin and the consequences of that sin. So many don't understand the consequences of sin. Yet the gift of eternal life came at a great price, God putting himself in flesh and willingly dying on the cross, not a father sending a son, not a father sending a son, but God in Christ, Almighty God becoming flesh. How many people tonight will celebrate Christmas and have no understanding of this gift? You can know about Christmas and not know about Christ. Amen. The scriptures declare that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He had no beginning. He's always been in existence according to Revelation 1 and 8. According to Revelation 14 and 17, he is the King of Kings. Colossians 1 and 16 says that Jesus created the world, everything that's visible and everything that is invisible, and he is the image of the invisible God. So Jesus was the one who spoke the world into existence. Jesus was the one who walked with Adam and Eve. Jesus was the one who wrestled with Jacob. Jesus is the one who is in this place tonight. According to Isaiah 7 and 14, we read, Jesus is Emmanuel, or God with us. According to Isaiah 9 and 6, the everlasting Father, Jesus is the gift under the tree of Calvary. John 8 and 12 declares that he is the light of the world. John 1 and 5 said, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. How many people drive by churches? How many people own a Bible? How many people know about the name of Jesus but don't know who Jesus is? A season of lights everywhere, yet most people comprehend the light not, according to John 1. Jesus came after 42 generations of mankind to declare the image of the invisible God. Oh, he may look like a man, but he was more than a man. He had the power of God. All power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. He may have asked for a drink at Jacob's well, but he walked on water and turned water into wine. He had only 33 years in the flesh, but he is the one of Ancient of Days. He had the right to say before Abraham was, I am. Jesus said to Peter, he that hath seen me has seen the Father. Philip said, just show us the Father, it'll suffice us. He said, have I been so long with you and you don't know who I am? When you see me, you see the Father. I don't know what the confusion is. There's not a trio of gods, but there is a God who had a position of creation as a Father, redemption as a Son, and regeneration as the Holy Ghost. Jesus came to show that the popular vote and opinion of man do not determine truth. There's too many people who want to determine what truth is based on how many people will agree with them. He came in the flesh for one purpose, to deal with our sin problem and to give us the greatest gift ever of eternal life. You see, if you understand that if we're born here and eternity is out there, then the little amount of time, the 70, 80, or even 90 years that we have will determine where we're going to spend eternity. But What are we going to do with the years that God gives us, you see? I believe that God has created within each and every one of us a void that cannot be filled with anything except God. And what you're feeling at Christmas time, you should feel in March and in September and in October and in July, because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Born in a manger with the shadow of the cross because of his love. What a tragedy if we didn't open the gift that is beyond any gift. Some have never opened the best gift at all. If you'll turn to Luke, if our musicians would come. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 9. Jesus said this, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." You know what Jesus is saying is, you know what? You don't have what you need because you simply haven't asked. You haven't found me because you haven't sought after me. Jeremiah 29 and 13 says, "On the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you find me." I knew about God for many, many years, but it never got to the place where I really sought after him. On that day, if there's 1,000 steps between you and God, he's asking you just take one step, he'll take 999. Amen. He goes on to say in verse number 10, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" I think it's appropriate at this time. We've had children asking us, "Could you get me this? Could you get me this?" And he's saying, you know what? If you, as a good father, would try to give your children those things that they really want. Verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?" How much more would God take care of things that he knows that you need? Amen. Christmas. It's a time to focus on what God has given us and what we could give him. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Again, it's so wonderful that you came to this Christmas Eve service. We're grateful that you're here. I like the purpose in my heart that this coming year, 2016, somehow, some way, I could draw closer to God, know more about him. I've said this a number of times from this pulpit. A friend of mine preached a family camp years ago, Bill Davis, and he said something that just so changed me. He said, you know, there are people who know people who have a relationship with God. My mom has a relationship with God. My husband has a relationship with God. But I don't have a relationship with God. You see, you can know somebody that has a relationship with God, but that's not enough. You need to have a relationship with God. And this year, folks, I just want to get closer to God somehow. I want to know more about him out of his book. I want to feel his presence more often. Be aware of what he can do for me. See more miracles than we've seen in this year. We've seen a lot of miracles in this year. Amen. Could we clap our hands one more time to him? Before we dismiss, maybe you want to reach out and shake somebody's hand, wish them a Merry Christmas. Lots of visitors here. We're grateful you're here.